I got us. There we go. Okay, when Kathy asked me to speak on teaching the younger women to be submissive to their husbands, I was not very submissive. I actually tried to find somebody else to do it. Alas, here I am. Kathy has been my mentor and now my friend for about 13 years. And when I met Kathy, I was not a submissive wife. I would have told you I was, but I was not a submissive wife. Honestly, I don't really think I understood what a submissive wife, what that term meant when I married Andre 29 years ago. At first, I really thought it was allowing your husband to make all the decisions and never voicing your opinion and keeping quiet. As you can imagine, that brought a lot of frustration to my life. And soon, I went the opposite direction and became that fierce woman. If you have not read that book, Fierce Woman, that's another incredible book. But she talks about criticizing him, and that was me. I criticized him. I challenged his decisions. I manipulated him. I corrected him every chance I could get. That was me, and that's what I thought was my job to do. And eventually, that led Andre to frustration, and he basically just shut down on me. And that's where we were. Sorry. Okay, that's where we were when I sought out Kathy. I knew something had to change in my marriage. And so when I met with Kathy, she gently but truthfully began to teach me I was not the wife I thought I was. So let me ask you a few questions. I'm wondering if you consider yourself a feminist. I'd be willing to bet that you would all stand up and say, "Of course not, I'm not a feminist." We all know that that's not biblical. But think about these questions. Do you think your rights should be upheld? Do you think you're entitled to something? Is it important that your opinion be heard? Do you think your way of doing things is better? If you answered yes to any of these questions, you might have subtly adopted a feminist view. And before you get upset with me and think I'm crazy, I struggle with those questions. I want my opinion to be heard. I think my way is right most of the time. So we all struggle with that, but that is not a biblical mindset. Our culture tends to think that the traditional roles are outdated and oppressive. The word submission is negative, and it's seen as a weakness. Many women feel unappreciated, restricted, even trapped in those traditional roles. You might be sitting there thinking, "Great, here's another woman telling me to be subject to my husband." But hopefully, maybe today we can work out what the biblical word submission really means. That feminist attitude isn't new, right? It started in the garden with Satan and Eve. She rebelled first against God and then against her husband. She chose to follow her own independent way. She removed herself from her husband's protection and then manipulated him into joining her in sin. When God cursed Eve for rebelling against him, he said, "Your desire shall be for your husband." In Genesis 3:16, that word, your desire, means to compel, impel, urge, seek control over. That means when we're left to our own, we're going to always try to usurp our husband's authority, always. At the end of that verse, it says, "And he shall rule over you." That means that our husbands are going to resist and try to control us even more. It's like this never-ending battle, right? We seek control over him. He pushes back and seeks control over him. So we end up in this battle. I entitled this talk, "The Gift of Submission," because that's really what it is. It's a gift that's given to us by our Creator, and it's a gift we give to our husbands. Honestly, ladies, if we give this gift to our husbands, we are going to bring order and peace to our homes, and that's what we all want, right? I hope that's what we want. You're going to stand out as a submissive woman in this world. Several years ago, a vacuum saleswoman came to my door. Yes, they really did do that. And it wasn't that long ago, so I'm not that old. So I let her in to give me a demonstration. I don't even know why I let her in, but I did. I let her in. She gave me a demonstration. When she was done, she asked me, "So do you think you would like to purchase the vacuum?" And I said, "Oh, I can't make a purchase this large without consulting my husband. This was her reaction to me. You mean to tell me you can't make a decision without your husband? More recently, I was in Target, and I'm checking out, and they asked me if I had a red card. And I said, no, my husband doesn't like it because it's attached to our bank account. There was a man standing by the cashier. I don't know if it was a, a manager. He worked for Target. So this is what he said to me. Oh, just get the credit card. He'll never know. Our culture doesn't really understand the true meaning of submission and definitely does not encourage it. If we're going to be women of the world, we need to understand submission and be willing to be obedient in order to bring glory to God. So let's begin our understanding with the higher purpose of our marriage. So really, what is the higher purpose of our marriage? First of all, our marriage is about the gospel. It's about the gospel. That's what your marriage is. Ephesians 5 starts out with, be imitators of God. It continues on with how God loved us, gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God for us, right? This chapter talks about how we should be living. It reminds us who we were. You were children of darkness. And it reminds us who we are now. You are light in the world. Walk as children of light. It ends with a picture of relationships, marriage, and the ultimate marriage, the real marriage. Our marriages should be about the gospel. Think about this, ladies. If your marriage is about the gospel, you're going to love the way Christ loves. You're going to forgive the way Christ forgives. You're going to submit the way Christ submits, right? Maybe you're thinking, I've read that chapter, Don. My husband does not love me the way Christ loves the church. He does not nurture me. He does not cherish me. I understand. Trust me. I really do. But I'm going to remind you of something Sharon said, which I've used about every week since she said it. She said, you are responsible for one heart only, and that's your own. So remember, God is gracious and compassionate. He's with you, and he's going to walk with you as you become obedient to the word of God. Marriage is also a portrait of the unity between Christ and the church he loves. And Ephesians 5, verses 31 and 32 say, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. After the death and resurrection of Christ, Paul tells us the mystery is that our marriage relationship is a picture of the relationship between Christ and his church. This would mean that marriage isn't about us. It's not about our ultimate fulfillment. It's not even about our pleasure, although our great God gives us that in our marriages, right? But it's about, it's about the gospel. It's about the real marriage, right? Revelations 19. This picture of the marriage supper. Let us rejoice and exult and give him the glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and his bride has made herself ready. It was granted to her to clothe herself with fine linen, bright and pure. Our marriages are to be a picture of that day when our filthy, stained garments are removed and we have the robes of Christ's righteousness on. Maybe you think your pre-wedding garments weren't filthy. Maybe they're like mine. Patches of self-righteousness sewn together, right, to make this beautiful robe, and it came out looking hideous. I'm going to tell you, whether your robes were filthy or patches of self-righteousness, they're going to be removed, and we're going to stand before the Father, presented to the Father in Christ's robes of righteousness. What an awesome responsibility that our marriages are supposed to be a reflection of that heavenly marriage. Again, you might be thinking, my marriage is not a picture of that ultimate marriage. Here's the good news. We have hope because we have Christ. Our marriages can change, and you can change because of the work of Christ. But we can't change our marriages without thinking about Christ and the church. Martha Peace says, If we take our eyes off Jesus and react in a selfish way, we will be miserable trying to fill our God-intended role. We have to keep Christ in our focus, or we're not going to be able to do that. God also designed marriage to be a reflection of the Trinity. The Son submitted to the Father throughout eternity in order to bring about the Father's purposes. Jesus wasn't concerned that the Father was getting all the credit or that his voice wasn't being heard. The Father's purpose was Jesus' purpose, and Jesus was committed to being submissive to the Father. Jesus says in John 6:38, "I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but the will of him who sent me." Jesus is our example as we submit to our husbands. Ultimately, we are submitting to God. I'm going to tell you, your submission doesn't say as much about what you think about your marriage as it does about what you think about God. We cannot be submissive to our husbands if we cannot be submissive to God. Whatever we do in our marriage is meant to bring glory to God. It's not about pleasing our husbands. It's not about our husbands pleasing us. Joy and success in our marriage come from understanding, embracing that higher purpose of marriage, that it's a picture of the ultimate marriage. It's a reflection of the Trinity and the gospel. So we have to remember that every day in our marriage for us to have that joy and success. Let's put a definition on this word, submission. So, I hate to break it to you, ladies. It's a command. Ephesians 5:22 and 24 says, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord." 24 says, "Wives should submit in everything to their husbands." Colossians 3:18 says, "Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting to the Lord." 1 Peter 3:1 says, "Likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives." Just to clarify that, that is talking about unbelieving husbands. It's not talking about your husbands who are believers that are not, who are being disobedient to the word. Okay. So you should gently rebuke your husbands if they're in sin. Gently and respectfully. So that's talking about unbelievers, being quiet if he's an unbeliever. Okay. So just want to clarify that. Titus 2 instructs older women to teach the younger women how to be submissive to their husbands. This is the supreme command for us as wives. Supreme command, ultimate, most important command. Everything that you do as a wife flows out of this command right here. We submit to our husbands because we're slaves of Christ and the Heavenly Father is our master. The perfect God has commanded us to submit to an imperfect man. The perfect God has commanded us to submit to an imperfect man, our own husbands. Every verse says your own husband. You're not responsible to submit to anybody else's husband. So, just to clarify. It comes from the Greek word hypotasso. I hope I'm saying it right. I don't know if I am or not. Been going through the First John study, so it's all about, you know, what does this word really mean? So that's the word command, comes from the Greek hypotasis, which means to arrange under, to subject oneself to obey, to submit to one's control, to yield to one's admonition or advice. It's a military term. It's like when the troops align under their commanding leader. So let's just clarify. This does not make you lower than your husbands, okay? It does not make us lower than our husbands in the Father's eyes. Galatians 3:26 through 28 says, "In Christ Jesus, we're all sons of God through faith." 28 says, "There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither slave nor free. There's no male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." We are equal in the sight of our Lord and Savior in position, but we are not equal in authority. Not equal in authority. Again, this is a reflection of the Trinity. We are called to have the mind of Christ in Philippians 2. Here's the mind of Christ. "Who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking on the form of a servant, humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Christ, equal with God, willingly placed himself under the authority of the Father to bring about his purposes. It's voluntary, ladies. We do it. It's not forced upon us. We do it. We need to stop viewing submission as the dirty work and start viewing submission as our divine calling, our privilege to affirm, encourage, honor, and come under our husbands. That needs to be our mindset. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about what submission is not, because we have some things that we have to get out of our minds, okay? So first of all, submission is not just for wives. Submission is a fact of life. Sorry, everybody submits to somebody. Children submit to their parents. Students submit to their teachers. Well, they're supposed to. Citizens submit to the law. The world gives submission a bad name, but it is a part of life. It's not a heavy yoke that God has placed on us as wives. That is not what the intent was. Ephesians 5:21 tells believers to submit to one another. No Christian is above another Christian. We should have a humble, submissive attitude towards each other. Our example is Christ. So being submissive to your husband does not mean you're inferior to him. It means that you are willing to be a reflection of the Trinity by willingly placing yourself under your husband's authority. Hebrews 13:17 tells believers to submit to the leaders of the church. And then Romans 13:1-5 tells us that God established our governors in his sovereignty. He put the leaders in place. He calls us to submit to their authority. Again, our example is Christ. In John 19, Christ submitted to the authority of Pilate. He let Pilate know who gave him that authority, but he did submit to Pilate's authority. As a Christian, submission is not optional. We will be crippled in our Christian walk if we are not submissive. I can't grow in my relationship with the Lord if I'm unwilling to be submissive. Submission does not mean that you give in to the sinful demands of your husband. Acts 5:29 tells us we must obey God rather than man. Ephesians 5:22 tells wives to be submissive to their husband as to the Lord. God, who put all authority over us, placed him as the head of our home, but his headship is not unlimited. There is a hierarchy, right? So if the lesser authority, your husband, tells you to disobey the higher authority, God, you must submit to the higher authority. You must, ladies. Elise Fitzpatrick says, in every case where your husband seeks to follow Christ and leads you to a greater love and service for God, you are to follow him. But if he tries to turn you from the Lord or asks you to join him in sin, you must respectfully and humbly refuse. There's so much here that I just want to encourage you. If this is happening in your home, you have to get help. You have to go seek out an older woman. You have to get help if this is happening in your home. I can't go through it today. We have 45 minutes, so we can't go through how to deal with that. So if it is happening in your home, you must get help. I just really have to stress that. So seek out an older woman, your mentor mom, one of the ladies in the back, leader at church, somebody. So if it's happening in your home, if your husband is asking you to sin, you must seek out some help because you cannot participate in sin. Submission doesn't mean that you will always agree with your husband. Sorry, it doesn't mean that. We should lovingly offer our perspective. God created us to be our husband's helpmate, and sometimes he needs our perspective. When my husband is dealing with issues with our daughter, we've had two boys, and then we got this little girl. What do you do with a little girl? Sometimes he needs my perspective as a woman to come alongside him and help him deal with her. Okay, so they do need our perspective. Sometimes he doesn't go shopping. He doesn't know how much things cost. Sometimes he gives me a budget that's impossible to stay in. Can't. He needs my perspective. He needs me to come alongside him and say, hey, you know what? This is how much this costs. This is how much this costs. I can't stay in the budget that you gave me. I'm trying, but I can't. So they do need us to come alongside respectfully and lovingly. That's the key, okay? We're going to talk a little bit about that more, but you are still obliged to submit, follow, and support your husband, even if you disagree with him. Respect his decision if it's not sinful. So think about what your response is when you disagree. We're going to talk about that more in a little bit, too, but just think about that. What's your response to your husband when you don't agree with him? We need to trust the Lord with the authority he's placed over us. Submission does not mean that you put your husband in the place of Christ. We need to guard against making our husbands our idol. He's not responsible for your happiness and contentment, and we're not responsible for his happiness and contentment. This is probably the biggest problem I had when I sought out an older woman. Andre was not making me happy. He was not meeting my expectations. Me, right? He was my idol, and he was failing. Oh. But he's not responsible for my spiritual growth, right? He's not the primary source of my happiness or my spiritual growth. My worship belongs to God alone. My desire should be to grow more Christ-like with him and serve him. But the Lord is my primary source, right? His word is my primary source of growth. Our entire beings cannot be wrapped up in this imperfect man, ladies. Our hope is always in the Lord. We do not lose hope that our husbands cannot change or that our marriages cannot improve because we're focused on Christ, right? So what does submission look like? Let's talk about what submission looks like. First of all, it's an attitude which is to the Lord first. So where's your heart right now? Like, what are you thinking? Are you annoyed? Like, dang, I don't like this. Oh, submission starts in the heart. It's an attitude that wants to please the Lord in everything. Colossians 3:18 says, as is fitting to the Lord. Submit as is fitting to the Lord. Ephesians 5:22 says, as unto the Lord. John MacArthur says, we lovingly submit as an act of obedience to the Lord who has given us this command, the ultimate command for wives, right? As his will for us. It's God's will for us to submit to our husbands, regardless of our husband's personal worthiness or spiritual condition. You cannot grow unless you're willing to be submissive. It's because we love the perfect Savior who commands us to be submissive to an imperfect man that we can take that and be obedient to it. When I first met with Kathy, I was absolutely sure my husband was not worthy of my submission or my love. He was not loving me the way Christ loved the church. Sorry. Sometimes he was mean. But never abusive, just so that you know, never abusive. Just mean in words. But as my relationship with the Lord grew, my heart for the Lord grew. And my desire to please the Lord grew. My view of Andre changed. I've often wondered if Andre changed, and I'm sure he did, because we both grew tremendously during that time. But what really changed, the change really occurred when I viewed my submission to the Lord differently and grew in my love for the Lord. If you're struggling with being submissive to your husband, you really need to evaluate your relationship with the Lord. Sorry. It's been a long weekend. For our marriages to be that picture of the real ultimate marriage, we have to stop living for ourselves. Take a look at 2 Corinthians 5:15. I don't have time to go over it, but you can look at that at home. It talks about dying to ourselves, which is that book, which is great, Die Young. Oh, being submissive is continual. It's not just for you young wives. It doesn't matter if you've been married 5, 10, 20, 30 years. It never ends. I put in my notes that if you're both believers growing in the Lord, it gets easier. But then I was talking to some older women, and they were like, it gets harder. But I don't know. For me right now in my season, like there was something a couple weeks ago that had come up, and I was really struggling making the decision about whether I should do it or not. And so I asked Andre, and Andre said, no, you can't do that. You don't have time to do that. Ladies, it was like this weight lifted off my shoulders because my husband had told me I couldn't do it, so I couldn't do it. It was great. So I just felt like it's a freedom, right? We like want to look at submission as this oppressing, but it's a freedom. If your husband says you can't do it, you can't do it. Yay! Right? Oh. So just keep that in mind. And as you grow together, I really do think that you become more Christ-like together, and your thoughts and your attitudes grow together. And so I hope that it does get easier because you're more on the same page than if you're constantly coming against each other. It's not based on your circumstances, ladies. Whether your husband's away for a long period of time or a short period of time, you're still required to be submissive to your husband. I was a military wife for 15 years. And, you know, when your husband's gone for a long period of time and you have to do everything and then he comes back in, it's difficult to release those reins and let him take over again. But it is required. And I think I was not a submissive wife when I was a military wife. But I think that if you are on the same page with him and you're in contact with him as much as you can, I know you can't always be in contact with him, but you know what he wants in your home, and so you make sure that you're doing what he wants in your home. I can remember telling my boys, don't do that when your dad's home. You know, he doesn't like it. This is what I taught my boys. They didn't need to be submissive to their father or respect him unless he was right in front of them. Which isn't really respect, it's just putting on an act. Let's face it, that's not respect. So now, my husband hates it when I leave appliances on and leave the house. Sergeant Safety. That's our little nickname for him. So now, when I leave, I turn everything off. I wait till the washer's done before I leave the house. We have come to an understanding about the crock pot. He's okay with that. I shut the windows. I lock all the doors. Why do I do that? Because I'm being submissive to him. That's what he wants. That's what I'm going to do. Okay? Even if I don't agree, which sometimes I don't. It's hot outside. The fans need to run. But it's okay. I actually have called him and said, hey, I'm going to be gone for 30 minutes. Is it okay if I leave the fans on? He's like, yeah, it's fine. So, yeah. Submission is not based on whether you deem your husband worthy of your submission. Maybe you're thinking, you don't know my husband. He's not a leader. I've tried. He's unwilling to lead. Do you know what makes a good leader? One person to follow. One person to follow makes a good leader. So are you following him or are you taking over? Are you criticizing him when he tries to lead? Yes, we need our husbands to step up and be leaders, but we also need to be leadable. If you're struggling with this, stop taking over. Ask your husband before making decisions. When we were homeschooling, and I was trying to decide between two different curriculums, I would write out the pros and cons of each curriculum, and I would take it to him, and I would say, I'm not sure which one. Can you look at the comparisons and see what you think? Now, I did the work of a helper. I wrote out all the pros and cons of each curriculum and took it to him so he could make the decision. And then he would help me make that decision. Now, here's my caution. You have to be prepared to follow through with his decision. Don't end with, are you sure? Because I thought maybe the other one was better. Okay, so if you're asking your husband, which you should be asking your husband to make the decisions, you have to follow through and be committed to doing what he says is best. If you've fallen into the habit of being that fierce woman of criticizing, challenging his decisions, manipulating, your husband might just say yes to avoid an argument and that contentious wife. That word, contentious wife. So you need to seriously evaluate your heart, and you might need an older woman to help you evaluate your heart. I needed an older woman. There were things that I thought Andre was okay with, and Kathy would say, Andre doesn't want you to do that. And I'd be like, wait, I asked him. He said yes. Mm-hmm. He said yes because it would avoid an argument with you. So you might need an older woman to come alongside you and encourage you in that way. Can go back to best talk, right? We need disciplers. We need people in our lives to help us. So honestly, ladies, we need each other. Iron sharpens iron. Being submissive is comprehensive and it's always relevant. It encompasses all things from the big things to the little things, from turning things off to making big purchases, right? Proverbs 31:11 says, the heart of her husband trusts in her. Your husband needs to know that you're not going to do something that's going to bring him harm. You're not going to get a credit card without his knowledge. You're not going to rack up large bills. You're not going to put his reputation in question. You're not going to leave your curling iron on when you leave the house. Right? So the heart of her husband trusts her. Some of you might be thinking, I married the wrong person because you don't know my husband. This is what I'm going to tell you. The moment you said I do to that man, he became the right person. Exactly the person that God chose for you. Now, again, I have to put in a little, if there's abuse going on in your home or sin issues in your home, you need to get help. You need to get help. Abuse is not submission, ladies. So do not mistake that, okay? So if anything is going on in your home that should not be going on, you really need to seek out help. But your Heavenly Father put the exact people in your life to help you help refine you be Christ-like. Your husband is in your life to refine you to be Christ-like. You're in your husband's life to help refine him to be Christ-like, to help. We don't do the work. Christ does the work. But the people help, right? You were created to be your husband's helper. Genesis 2:18 tells us that God saw that it was not good for man to be alone, so he made a helper suitable for him. And guess what? You're the suitable helper for your husband. That's you. This is a divinely established role of the wife. Man was not made for the woman, but woman for the man. 1 Corinthians 11:8. Now, maybe you're thinking this doesn't apply to me because my husband's not a Christian. This applies to every Christian wife, regardless of her husband's spiritual status. I asked my friend, who's married to a non-believer, what submission looks like in her home. Now, those of you who are married to believers, don't turn me off, because these principles apply to all of us, but probably even more if you have a non-believing husband. She works at understanding his weaknesses and then strives not to magnify those weaknesses, but to build him up. She remembers the fact that she can do something doesn't mean she should. And that's in regard to ministry, in regard to helping other people. Just because she can do it does not necessarily mean she should do it. She thinks about how she can show him that her love for him is greater than her love for herself. She thinks about his perception. Does he feel unworthy? Does he feel like he has to compete for her affections? She aggressively pursues loving him. She listens intently to what he's not saying. My husband says a lot when he doesn't speak. I don't know about you. But so all those things, she's basically a student of her husband. And that's what we need to be, students of our husband. We need to know his reactions. We need to know if he's saying yes just because he knows he's going to get an argument. If he doesn't, we need to know all those things. We need to see that, okay? Being submissive is productive. We submit to our husbands. As we submit to our husbands, we seek to accomplish God's purposes in our home, just as Christ sought to accomplish the Father's purposes on earth. We use our gifts to bless our husbands. We focus on our husband and our children. How are you contributing to your family? Is it about what you can get or about what you can give? Do you see yourself as a team with your husband? How about your daydreams? What are you daydreaming about? Are they honoring to the Lord and your husband? Or are they making you more irritated with your husband? Gotta watch that, what we think about. My own interests should not take precedence over my husband's. His priorities become my priorities. I accomplish what he needs to be done first. This is totally against what the world says. You do what your husband needs to be done first. When I met with Kathy, she instructed me to ask Andre every morning what I could do for him. At first I was like, I'm not asking him that. I'm not doing that. I was not very submissive, I don't know. When I finally did ask him, Andre about fell on the floor. In shock. He couldn't think of anything. He was like, it'd be nice if you bring the mail in every day. So this was me walking out to the mailbox. So is it my job now to bring the mail in? My duty is to bring the mail in every day. Seriously. Oh, I've come a long way. But you know what, ladies? If it serves my husband, it's my job to bring the mail in every day. I'm sorry, it is. If it helps my husband, it's my job to bring the mail in. As wives, we should embrace our husband's mission, his calling, his ministry. What's your husband's ministry? What's his vision for his ministry? Have you made it your own? Are you helping him in his ministry? How are you helping him in his ministry? My husband's main ministry is the jail ministry. I can't go in alongside him. They don't let women in there. Don't know why. No, I do. Just kidding. I can't go along, but this is what I can do. He goes on Monday nights. I can make sure that when he gets home from work, dinner's done, and everything's ready for him to leave the house at the right time to get to the jail ministry, okay? I can make sure he's available on weekends if there is a man who's been released from the prison who needs to meet with him so he can encourage them. I cannot complain when he goes and does that, right? I can encourage him, pray for him. Praying for him is one of the most important things I do for him. Let me tell you an important aspect of encouraging your husband in his ministry. I'm probably going to cry again. Sorry. I'll try not to. Our son lives in Ventura. Loves basketball. Didn't know how to take basketball and use it for his ministry. God, in his sovereignty, allowed him to find out about a program where a church goes in and plays basketball with the inmates in Ventura. So my son watched his dad serve in this, and now he's serving in a similar capacity. This is the joy of making your husband's ministry a priority in your home, because then your children see it and they go, oh, hey, I need to minister. What can I do? Okay? So make your husband's ministry a priority. Being submissive is also being respectful. The end of Ephesians 5:33 says, let the wife see that she respects her husband. So how do you respond to a decision you don't agree with? Let me give you this challenge. It's not really submissive when we agree. I'll say that again. It's not really submission when you agree with your husband. There's not a problem if you agree with what he's doing, right? If you disagree and disobey, you have a self-focus. It's my ways, my rights, my desires, my opinions. You're not worshiping the Lord, and you're not concerned for his glory. That is the seduction of feminism. My way's better, right? If you disagree with your husband, you should make a biblical appeal. Martha Peace, this sounds so like, wow, a biblical appeal. But it's really just coming to your husband respectfully and lovingly, okay? And being his helpmate. Martha Peace talks about how to make a biblical appeal in her book, The Excellent Wife. And I actually put the steps on your questions. So I'll just review them a little bit. First of all, if you're going to appeal your husband's decision, it should be done with the purpose of achieving your husband's objective or desire. There's a reason that your husband wants to make that decision. So you need to keep that in mind. So, and keep in mind what his objective is in making that decision. The motive should not be to get your own way or manipulate him to come along to your side. I manipulated my husband one time, and we had these two little dogs, and we had them for 10 years. Kathy would come to my house. She'd knock on the door. As soon as she knocked on the door, the dogs would start yipping. And I'd open the door, and there'd be Kathy lapping. Other people come to my house, and I go, that's what happens when you're an unsubmissive wife. We gave them away. Just recently, about a year ago. About 16 months ago. Because they didn't like babies. So, grandbaby, dogs. Dogs. So your motive should not be to get your own way or manipulate him. It should always be done in a respectful manner and a submissive spirit. There's a huge difference between, that is the stupidest thing I've ever heard. I can't believe you made that decision. And, hey, have you thought about this aspect? Is it okay if I give you my opinion? The way we should respond should be respectful and helpful. It should be done at the right time after praying. After hard days at work or 3 days at the station is not the time to approach your husband about a decision that he's made that you don't agree with. Okay, so be wise when you approach him. The appeal should be made one time. Repeated appeals give the appearance of a nagging and contentious wife. If you're wondering what that looks like, you can look up Proverbs 21:9, Proverbs 21:19, and Proverbs 27:15. It's so funny. I wanted a king-size bed for my daughter's room so that when we had guests, actually after Devin and Lindsay got married, so they could actually sleep in a bed instead of, you know, two single beds. So I had asked Andre if we could get a queen-size bed, and he said, no, it's not the right time. We can't afford it. We're not going to do it. I go, okay. So I was going to approach him one more time, and I'm reading in Proverbs one morning, and I should have looked up the proverb because I'll get it wrong, but it said something about you should not lose your bed over debt. I was like, I guess we don't need that bed right now. Amazingly, somebody gave us one a few months later. So only make your appeal once. And pray if you're, pray if you're going to ask your husband for something, if it's, you know, a big thing. It should always be backed up with a statement that you're willing to do whatever he decides, okay? When our kids were young, my husband decided to take a job that would move us to Saudi Arabia. I did not make a biblical appeal. This is what my appeal sounded like. Are you crazy? They don't even like women in Saudi Arabia. I can't even drive a car in Saudi Arabia. My appeal ended with, you can go, but I'm not. For the next few months, it was pretty rough in our home. Andre kept moving forward with his plans, and I kept digging my heels in. So I'm not leaving. And a woman from the church called. She doesn't even remember it. It's so funny. I don't even know why she called me. Because we weren't that close. She called me about something else. She just happened to ask how it was going, and I told her that I told her about Andre's plan, and I told her I wasn't going. I can't remember everything she said to me, but one word sticks out in my mind: unsubmissive. Wow. Ouch, that hurt. When I got off the phone, I submitted to the Lord, and I told Andre, I don't agree, but if this is what you think is best for our family, I'll go. And I started praying. And as I prayed, God changed my heart. And I started looking forward to the adventure. I mean, what homeschooler can take their kids to Egypt when they're studying ancient Egypt? And we would have been able to do that. I was like, oh my gosh, we can do all kinds of stuff. So my heart changed. When I finally submitted to the Lord, he changed my heart and he changed our plans so that we could not go to Saudi Arabia. Now, I'm not saying that the Lord's going to change your plans every single time, but what I am saying is that it's always best to trust the Lord and submit to him. Bringing glory to God should be our motivation when we choose to submit, even when we don't agree. Submission is from the heart. It flows from a heart, sincere, faith-filled submission to the Lord. Honestly, this is impossible, right? Because of the curse on Eve. We can't do it. But God, right? But God. We were bought with a price. We're now slaves of righteousness, no longer bound by sin. We can submit to our husbands because of what Christ did for us. It can be a joy because this is what Christ wants for us. When our heart is focused on reflecting and pleasing our Savior, it's easy to submit to an imperfect man, right? Remember, our marriage is this picture of Christ in the church. It's a reflection of the Trinity. It puts the gospel on display when you are submissive to your husbands. This is seen in our actions, in our words, because what they're a reflection of our heart. So if you're struggling with these actions, you really need to get your heart right before the Lord. I listened to several speakers and read several books when I was preparing for this talk, and several speakers from Grace. So if you're listening to a message and you go, wow, I've heard this before, it's probably for me, because I stole it from them. But one speaker called the submissive wife undaunted courage. Undaunted courage. In the garden, Christ made an appeal to the Father. Mark 14, 35 and 36 says, he fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. He said, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will. After this prayer, Jesus was resolved to be submissive to the Father. Later on, in John 18:11, when Peter cut off the ear of the soldier, this is what Jesus said: "Shall I not drink the cup the Father has prepared for me?" From "please take it away" to "shall I not drink it?" Undaunted courage, resolved submission. We have the unique responsibility of displaying the gospel in our marriages through the submission of our husband to our husbands. We train our children to respect and obey their fathers by our submission. We train our daughters to be submissive to their husbands one day by our submission. So, ladies, are you willing to do what others are not? The feminist attitude is beginning to permeate our churches. But our gift of submission comes from a heart set on glorifying the Lord with undaunted courage, right? So that his purposes can be accomplished. So, are you willing to do what others are not?